The Bible reading this morning is the one that's in our daily Bible reading plan. There's our EBC Bible reading app and website, encounterbc.org, and it's also in our Facebook group and our Facebook page. The readings are everywhere. So it's Mark chapter 1, verses 1 to 8. Mark chapter 1, verses 1 to 8. Let me pray. Father, we come to your word this morning to meet with you, and by your Spirit to discover more about who you are and what you're doing. We pray that we might be strengthened, encouraged, challenged and changed, that we might live with you, like you and for you. Amen. Mark chapter 1. The beginning of the good news about Jesus, the Messiah, the Son of God. As it is written in Isaiah the prophet, I will send my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way. A voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him. And so John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. The whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem went out to him. Confessing their sins, they were baptized by him in the Jordan River. John wore clothing made of camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. And this was his message. After me comes one more powerful than I, the straps of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. Kids, how's your preparation for Christmas going? Have you bought presents for your parents yet?
No.
Young people, how's your preparation for Christmas going? Have you bought presents for your parents yet?
But they have bought presents for the Chris Kingleby. They've done very well for that.
Excellent. Adults, how are you going at preparing for Christmas? Have you already started stacking on the pounds because of all of the Christmas parties you've been to? You can see we're preparing for Christmas because we're preparing our set, right? And it's going to be the same as it was last year, a typical Middle Eastern house like the one that Jesus would have been born in 2,000 years ago, but it's only like half done. We've got the manger and we've got Justin. Thank you, Susanna. Justin is out. Sorry, I'll hold it. It's ages since my kids were a baby, so I've forgotten how to lift up babies properly.
You keep going.
I can't keep going while you're doing stuff behind me, Paul. As I said last week, the miracle happened in our place and the tree went up on the 1st or the 2nd of December. It's normally like the 23rd or 24th of December, so that's amazing. But how's the preparations for Christmas going at your place? All under control? Do you know where you're going on Christmas Eve, apart from here for the service? Do you know where you're going on Christmas Day, in addition to here for the service? Have you figured out which in-laws or outlaws you're going to? Excellent. Here's the thing. Are your preparations for Christmas getting in the way of your preparation for Christ? I think sometimes the mad rush that it is towards the end of the year, getting through the school stuff, the school exams, the school reports, the school breakups, the school presentation nights, the end of year work functions, the power-enabled house close-down things, your street groups or whatever else, the rush to get to all those things, figuring out what time of the night you're going to go to the 24-hour shopping at Chadston Shopping Centre and arranging for that, all of those things, you rush through and your mind is just full of all of these things. And sometimes I think we get so caught up in the preparations for Christmas and all the events that it can get, not intentionally, but it just fills up our life so it squeezes out all of the preparation that we might do for Christ. It wasn't so many centuries ago that the lead up to Christmas was in many ways like the lead up to Easter. We still have elements of that, you know, because we have like Lent and people give up coffee and other things for Lent. And there's this sense of preparation and getting towards Easter. And it's not frantic with other things, right? And then we have the solemnity of Good Friday and the joy of Easter Sunday. Well, centuries ago, before the sort of mad end of year rush and all of the Christmas presents and all the parties and all those sort of things, life was much clearer. We didn't have all of those things to clutter it up. And some churches had like 40 days of preparation for Christmas, just like they had 40 days of preparation for Easter. Now, I know that you and I aren't going to be able to get out of all of the Christmas parties we've said we'd go to, and all of the family members we've got to catch up with, and all those sort of other things. But this morning, I want us to take this passage and see if we can just have some simple things for us to keep in mind so that we can prepare for Christ and not just Christmas. Because at the first Christmas, it didn't begin with the angels going to Mary and say, guess what, you're going to have a baby. We see here in Mark's Gospel that centuries before, God had inspired Isaiah the prophet to say, a voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him. And I'm really glad to be preaching on this passage this morning for two reasons. One is a major sort of theme that we looked at in the Bible this year was the book of Isaiah, and we spent a couple of months going through the book of Isaiah with a bunch of different people, and it's a fantastic book. And we could have spent much longer than that because we only managed to really scratch the surface of it. But this quote that I guess we'd add is actually from Isaiah 40, and one of us, I can't remember who actually preached on Isaiah 40, you'll find it on our website, the recording of it. I'm not sure. Someone did. But this is a bit like those of you at school who are already starting on next year's stuff. Is anyone at school starting like next year's stuff already? You know, you get into the, you find out who your teacher is and you start doing the stuff for next year. Well, Mark chapter 1 is going to be our theme reading for the year next year. The whole chapter, we're going to come back to it at various times through the year. And so this passage links a big part of what we did in the scriptures this year in Isaiah to what's going to be a big part and focus for us next year in Mark chapter 1. Now we're going to be focusing on the Gospels in other ways, but Mark chapter 1 is going to be like our theme chapter for the year. And so we're getting a head start. We're doing a bit of prep now for next year, as well as prepping for Christmas. But hundreds of years before the birth of Jesus, God was already laying the groundwork. God was already doing preparation for the coming of Jesus. And just like often there would be when a royal person came or an important person came, there would be people that went before them to announce that they were arriving so everyone could get ready. That's exactly the sort of thing here. And we've got the story of John the Baptist, who was self-consciously being a prophet. Camel hair and leather belts weren't the fashion of the day, you know. They weren't like the high fashion. They weren't even like the Uniqlo or the Country Road or the Zara, the fast fashion things. No, that was deliberately the austere and humble and poor dressing of a prophet. And he was doing it because Elijah did it. And locusts and honey, they were the things that a simple person ate when they were living in the wilderness area. It was not fancy food. And so here's this person, John the Baptist, self-consciously being a prophet, saying, get ready, Christ, the God is coming. And so that's the first thing we need to do when we're preparing for Christmas this year, is we need to think theologically. because these few verses are making remarkable claims about the person of Jesus. Go back and read Isaiah 40, and it's clear that the one that they're saying prepare the way for is in fact God. And so at the beginning, very beginnings of Mark's gospel, it's saying it's not just that this person is coming, but God is coming. And that's some profound theology of Christmas, is that in the birth of Jesus, God came as a human. And so as we prepare for Christmas, we need to do some thinking about the theology of what we're actually celebrating. And we can not just try and figure it out intellectually, but we can ponder it in our hearts. And let it amaze us and stretch our thinking. But what's a simple way that you can think theologically leading up to Christmas this year? Well, a simple one I want to suggest is that you actually take some time to read through the words of the carols that we sing. Because there's some fantastic theology in them, and oftentimes we get so caught up in the singing of them, we don't have time in the singing of them, whether we're trying to hit the high notes, that we... I don't know that I can do that now. And I've got performance anxiety in front of an opera singer. Actually take the time to read through the words when you're not trying to sing them. So let's, for example, can we just put up the Hark the Herald Angels Sing, the first verse for that. Hey, there we go. Hark the Herald Angels Sing. Glory to the newborn King. Peace on earth and mercy mild. God and sinners reconciled. That in the life, death and resurrection of Jesus, which we mark as beginning in Christmas, this amazing thing happened, that God and sinners are reconciled. Wow. And not only that, that Jesus is born as King, which means he's the boss. He's a great boss, but he is also the boss. And that the whole creation is celebrating that fact. Who else would you prefer to be the boss of the universe? I can't think of anyone else I'd prefer. Verse 2, thanks Edwin. Offspring of the virgin's womb, veiled in flesh, I love this line, veiled in flesh the Godhead see. Hail the incarnate deity, pleased as man with men to dwell. One of our three words, our themes for this year is with, right? With, like, and for. And here we are singing that God is with us. But more than that, he is actually like us in human form. Next verse, thanks Ed. But he is also for us, born that man no more may die, born to raise the sons of earth, born to give them second birth. Did you know that when Charles Wesley wrote the words to this Christmas carol, he requested music that was slow and solemn? Now, there's nothing wrong with us singing it joyfully, but slow and solemn actually lets you marinate in the words. And there are some more verses that he wrote that we don't commonly sing today. And some of them, I won't read them all out, but you can Google them, you can look at them on Wikipedia, but many of them talk about, actually then, God, since we talk about God being with us, like us, and for us in the first three verses, it then talks about us becoming with God and like Jesus in response. Now, it doesn't have any missional for Jesus verse. Maybe one of you could write another verse to add onto this carol, so it would have the symmetry of with, like, and for God with us. Like us and for us, and then us with God, like Jesus and for him. So this Christmas, find words to carols that you're singing or that you hear playing in the shopping centre or that we sing here, and look at the words and read them and think about the theology of them. So the first one is theology, and the thing we need to do is think. The second thing is sin. And the thing we need to do is confess. So sin was a noun, not a verb, in that particular setting. Thanks, Paul. We don't want you to prepare for Christmas by going out and sinning. What we want you to do is prepare for Christmas by going out and confessing your sin that you have already committed. Because you know that's what it's like, right? You're dealing with all the rubbish in your life. Just like if you see someone coming up the garden path to your house, what do you quickly try and do? You try and deal in some way with the rubbish that's in your lounge room, right? Now, often we try and sweep it under the carpet, and that's not the appropriate theological response for the sin in our lives. The opposite is true, in fact, is that we bring our sin into the light. We confess it to God. We say, God, I know you already know about this, and I'm going to say now that I know that you know that I know that I did this thing wrong. And just so that we're clear, we can be confident that we know that even though God knows us thoroughly, God still loves us. Even though God knows our failings, he still sent Jesus. And so if we want to be intentional about preparing for Christ and not just for Christmas, the first thing is to think theologically. And we get that from this quote from Isaiah and who Jesus is. The second thing we need to do is to confess our sins, and that's what John the Baptist came and told people to do, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of their sins. Think theologically. Confess sins. And this was John the Baptist's message. After me comes one more powerful than I, the straps of whose sandals I'm not worthy to stoop down and untie. The third thing we need to do as we prepare for Christmas is to worship. And we need to humbly worship. Now, the familiarity of it, when sometimes we can get caught up in the joy of it all, and we should do that. But this Christmas, as you prepare for Christ, find some way and some moment when you can humbly worship. Have the sense that the one that we are worshipping is incredibly valuable. Have the sense that the one that we are giving praise to is so far and above us that we're not even worthy to undo their shoelaces. So think theologically, confess sins, humbly worship. And the final one is expect the Spirit. I baptize you with water, John says, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. As we prepare for Christ this Christmas, let's expect that the Spirit will come into our lives in new and fresh ways to bring the healing, to bring the joy, to bring the peace, to bring the assurance of forgiveness, to bring the new life, to bring the sense that we are loved, to bring the sense, awareness of God's presence. And I could go on listing all of the different things that the Spirit does in our lives, but let's this Christmas expect that the Spirit would move in a new way. As we prepare for Christ, not just for Christmas. Think theologically, confess sins, humbly worship, and expect the Spirit. That's what this passage teaches us about the beginning of the good news about Jesus. And so I would like to finish with suggesting just one thing that you might like to do between now and the 25th of December. As Christmas is fast approaching, I want you to consider having a fast. Find a day, one day, where you can fast in some way. Maybe miss breakfast and lunch. Or maybe if your health doesn't mean you can't go without food for that long, eat simple food, much more simply than you normally would. Find some way to fast. In Christian history, in the Benedictines, I think it was, they would encourage their monks to fast from the 1st of December to the 25th of December. In the Orthodox Church, they call this season the Nativity Fast, and it's a season of fasting over 40 days. It's not that they fast every day, but they fast over a period of 40 days. And all I'm asking you to do to change up your preparation for Christmas this year is to pick one day when you can fast simply in some way. Why? Because in saying no to the excesses of food and other things that mark this time of year, we're saying, I don't just want to prepare for Christmas, I want to prepare for Christ. And in saying no to the physical act of eating, I make space for theological thinking and confession of sins and humble worship and an expectation of the Spirit. I'm not asking you to give up all of your Christmas parties. I'm not asking you to do, not eat any Christmas cake. I'm not asking you to do any of those things. I'm just asking you and suggesting that in the next 14 days that you might find one day where you can do something a bit different and fast. Maybe fast from the internet or social media or Snapchat or Instagram or whatever. If you can, fast from your work.
Done.
But find some way to clear space, mental, physical, emotional, and most importantly, spiritual. Because you can't prepare for Christ any other way. Prepare the way for Him. Make straight paths. Clear out the clutter. Remove the rubbish. Pause the frantic rush. It doesn't have to be much, and you will find that you are more deeply prepared for Christmas this year than you have been for many years. Prepare the way for the Lord. Think theologically, confess sins, humbly worship, expect the Spirit. And your Christmas will be richer than you could ever imagine. Let's pray. God, there's a big, long to-do list that most of us have over the next 14 days. And Lord, our culture sets it up so that there's often no room for preparation for Christ on that list. And so, Lord, we ask for your grace and your help this year, that each one of us would find some special and fresh way to prepare for Christ this Christmas. Come, Holy Spirit, give us ideas, help us to make achievable plans, and help us to follow through on them. In Jesus' name. Amen. We've had a great time of worship and sharing together this morning. There's been some specific words for people. If you feel like you need prayer from me or anyone else, please seek them out at the end of our service. We'd really love to pray with you. If you have questions about anything, please don't hesitate to come and ask. We'd love you to join us for morning tea in the hall. There's the list for food that we're bringing next week. There's flyers for you to take for your friends. But we're going to finish our time together by singing a great carol, O Come All Ye Faithful. And we're going to sing this because it's like an invitation to ourselves that we're going to come, we're going to gather around Christ. We're going to focus on Him as we head towards Christmas this year. Let's stand together and sing.